From Directions Magazine, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, May 27th, 2014. This weekly podcast gives you an inside edge on technology news related to all things location. This is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief in Huntsville, Alabama.
And this is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
It's not a question of yes or no, it's a question of when and how. That from a senior U.S. official involved in approving the sale of higher spatial resolution satellite imagery from commercial Earth observation satellite providers. That same official said this process involves myriad, nuanced, and complex issues. That's the subject of our podcast today. More after a word from our sponsor. Map out your future in one of the top three high-growth industries. With a master's degree in applied geospatial sciences from Elmhurst College, you'll be an expert in spatial thinking and geographic information systems. And you'll have the tools that will make you indispensable in the industry. The degree is completed entirely online in cohort-based classes, so it's perfect for working professionals. For more information, visit go.elmhurst.edu/spsmags. Adina, let's set the stage. According to a report by Reuters, National Geospatial Intelligence Agency Director Letitia Long said last week at the Space Symposium in Colorado Springs, it's going to happen. Technology is moving in that direction, unquote. Technology she is speaking of is higher spatial resolution of Earth observation satellite imagery. Today, as we know, commercial providers like Digital Globe resample the resolution of the imagery provided for commercial sale to about 50 centimeters. So that's about half a meter. And that's to comply with restrictions by the U.S. government. Now, the application by Digital Globe goes to 25 centimeters. We're not talking about anything but more than about a sheet of paper, a little bit larger than that. And that was submitted to NOAA about a year ago. And according to Ms. Long, we are nearing the time when the application will be approved. And Digital Globe, in particular, wants to see the approval come soon, as it's about to launch its WorldView 3 satellites on August 13th of this year. So Long said, allowing the company to sell higher resolution imagery would allow adversaries to track U.S. troop movements, but the license could be structured to more tightly control imagery in the event of a military conflict. Now, that's a vague reference to me to what we used to call shutter control when Digital Globe and GeoEye began collecting imagery a while ago. And essentially, the government bought the entire inventory over a certain part of the world, for example. She seems to be implying that the license could be structured to buy all the high-resolution imagery or something to that effect. So my question is it likely the NGA could restrict the license of high-resolution satellite images for commercial applications and use just higher-resolution imagery for their own use?
As you've suggested, they've done it before. They'll probably do it again. They're trying to sort of find that middle ground where Digital Globe can continue to be a growing concern, can compete effectively with overseas players in the satellite marketplace, and also compete with other high-res solutions, drones and airplanes and so forth, in this country. It sort of makes sense that they build that into the decision, that they sort of have a way out if they need to perform shutter control on an as-needed basis.
It leaves me a little bit funny, you know. You give them the right to open it up, and then you're going to say, "No, I don't think so." It just left me with a little bit of a queasy feeling that they're going to approve it, but they could yank it at any time.
Well, that's the way things have been going here in the United States, and in a lot of different areas, privacy, data collection, among others. The only real challenge there that, you know, we're not telling the government something it doesn't know, that if for whatever reason they do put shutter control on Digital Globe, an American concern, those in other parts of the world are free to provide higher resolution imagery for wherever the area of interest is, should their local laws allow it.
Right.
So
right.
It may not matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good point. Well, so let's assume the positive and that NOAA approves for Digital Globe. My sense is that it might open the floodgates for the microsat companies to receive VC money so they can now deploy constellations and not have to worry about building new sats to capture a higher resolution imagery. So that leaves the question open for what's happening now, as we discussed a few weeks ago, for these small startups. Now, these small startups haven't necessarily prepared for high-resolution imagery. If we look at the ones we spoke about, the static imagery that these startups collect, like Skybox, they're less than a meter. Daria Aerospace, 22 meters. Earthcast, 5 meters. Blackbridge just recently secured some funding from Canadian banks for what they call their RapidEye Plus constellation. Now, they didn't reveal what the spatial resolution will be, but the RapidEye satellites had been about 5-meter resolution. I just wonder if this approval process leaves other investment opportunities open now for some of these small sat companies.
I'm not sure it matters. I mean, there's been so much investment in these players to date, and the real issue hasn't been so much resolution, but coverage, revisit time, price, and speed to delivery.
To market, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So resolution, you know, while it's in the mix,
there's other factors.
It never seemed to be the major factor. Mm-hmm. It could change things. A good number of these folks are on the verge of starting to sell imagery, so they're already committed.
I don't know. I just feel that you always want the best picture quality. Repeat coverage, yeah, that's certainly in the mix. That's a big one. But when you're looking down, I think you want that higher resolution imagery. I think that that's going to be the call. But however, I do say that I think the VC money is going to have to find religion about spatial and spectral resolution. I don't think they really know about that. They might be able to grasp repeat coverage, but the nuances in Earth observation imagery, I don't think are well understood by the VC community. And it recently, this markets and research report that we've put in the show notes said that 60% of the U.S. commercial satellites have been financed by U.S. the Ex-Im Bank, but also there's this ongoing tussle, so this report said, by the big players, Raytheon, Northrop Grumman, Lockheed Martin. Those guys have a lot of money to fund ventures like this. They may not need banks, but that's not the VC community that's going to put up some of these new satellites.
Well, do remember that the one big concern we had about these new remote sensing players was about their use cases and their right. marketing plans and who it was who was going to buy this stuff. And I think if you push that one step further, you could say, well, who's going to buy this stuff if it's even higher resolution?
Mm-hmm.
We don't really know the answer to that.
Yeah, well, that's a fair point, because once you get all this data available, do you need daily repeat coverage or every 6-hour coverage, and do you need higher spatial resolution coverage? It's a matter, I think, as you've said before, it's a matter of the use cases that you can really put before the community to say, this is why you need this.
If you don't know what to do with it at 5-meter, you probably don't know what you're going to do with it at 1-meter. And if you don't know what you're going to do with it at 1-meter, you're not sure what you're going to do with it at 25 centimeters.
Well, that's a good point, because now if there is this approval by NOAA to 25 centimeters, who really needs that high resolution other than for military and intel applications?
That's the billion-dollar question.
Yeah. I think some of the startups have done a very good job in articulating why you would want to have this level of spatial resolution, because they're directly applying it to, say, for in the case of for example, Daria, more of an agricultural and natural resource application. And you can make the argument that 22-meter spatial resolution, probably good enough. And Blackbridge tried to make this approach. Blackbridge RapidEye tried to make this argument when they first put up their constellation, because they thought 5-meter was directly applicable to the ag market. They tried to sell directly to the ag people. They didn't understand it. They've since taken a step back, and we've talked about that too. The use cases definitely need to be out there and articulated better to whoever is going to buy this stuff once it's there. Maybe the last question is, and I insinuated it a little bit. Will there be a rush to market by the larger defense contractors to now go to market with microsats or any satellite for that matter, but in particular because they can launch these things a little bit cheaper? The Research and Markets report said one challenge that may hamper the expected double-digit growth of this market that they expect is raising capital by startups and small-sized companies, as every machine, every orbiting device costs thousands of dollars. Every major technology investment has been a bet-the-company adventure. This finding the right area along with an economically feasible and profitable area holds the key to success in this field. The inability to obtain financing could possibly delay or cancel satellite programs. I guess the takeaway from that statement is it's all a huge risk. The guys who have the toehold in the market, the Raytheons, the Northrops, probably will do better even if you're allowed now to launch a satellite with higher spatial resolution.
It really comes down to is the market there? Whether mm-hmm. the market is the government and defense or whether it's the commercial sector. I think that's, we still haven't answered that question.
I'm not sure we know the answer until it's there.
It's sort of a chicken and egg thing. You're right. If the products are not in the market, no one can buy them. That's true. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it'll definitely be a risk. And I like to think that the Raytheons and Lockheed Martins are all keeping their eye on all of these new players and the changes potentially for Digital Globe of getting that higher resolution okay. And in the meantime, the rumor mill is flying again with rumors that Google's going to buy Skybox.
Right.
Which also makes you think about what is the marketplace going to look like?
Well, and you could make the argument that if that happens, it just opens the floodgates for other more consumer-oriented, an Apple, a Microsoft, to buy a satellite company or take a strong position as Google that bought the drone company. Once one company buys a satellite company, does that open the floodgates for other people to buy other satellite companies or UAV companies? Do we all want our own UAV company to go out and start flying? Well, that's all the time we have for today.
Our sponsor, Elmhurst College, wants you to know that with a master's degree in applied geospatial sciences from Elmhurst College, you can map out your future. At Elmhurst, you'll work with experienced educators and professionals, and you can complete the program in just 2 years. And Elmhurst has a dedicated GIS server, so you get hands-on experience. To learn more, visit go.elmhurst.edu/spsmags.
If you'd like to comment about today's podcast, please write to us at editors@directionsmag.com or leave a comment where this podcast is posted on Directions Mag. You can also send us a tweet @DirectionsMag. Thanks again for joining us today, and be sure to tell a friend.